हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 58. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear gentle Uncle Akura, was your trip here comfortable? May all good fortune be yours. Are our well-wishing friends and our relatives, both close and distant, happy and in good health? But, my dear Akura, as long as King Kamsa, that disease of our family, who goes by the name maternal uncle, is still prospering, why should I even bother to ask about the well-being of our family members and his other subjects? Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned. By good fortune, we have today fulfilled a desire to see you, our dear relative. Oh, gentle uncle, please tell us why you have come." Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "In this situation, seeing you today has been brought about completely, samjatam, by good fortune. You are our relative, svanam. Though Kamsa is the king of the Bhojas, I do not consider him my relative, since he was born from a demon, not Ugrasena, and is cruel." Sukadev Goswami said, "In response to the Supreme Lord's request, Akura, the descendant of Madhu, described the whole situation, including King Kamsa's enmity towards the Yadavs and his attempt to murder Vasudev." Footnote 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 8 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima," which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So this is just 8. Right, so that these pastimes are going on like this because Krishna's in control, right? And so that all this could be happening is just due to Krishna's desire, right? And then that what will come up from that, what pastimes can come up from that. It doesn't have any other purpose because no one can bother who he doesn't want to have bothered, right? So that all this goes on and all this, then is so that then there's this arrangement where Krishna then can go to Mathura, he can kill Kamsa, he can do all these different things. So you have all these different pastimes that then are pleasing to him. Right? So you have what's pleasing to him in Braj, you have what's pleasing to him in Mathura. But the whole point is it's about him being pleased.
So Krishna is in control in his eternal pastimes, and he's in control also here.
Yes.
But then somehow or other, for us, we experience more suffering and pleasure. And sometimes devotees, they say, "Oh, it's Krishna's pastimes," but it doesn't appear, here.
No, it means it. I mean, there's his Sankirtan pastimes and this and that, but we have to remember is that in the pastime, he reciprocates us according to how we're approaching him.
Yeah.
You know, so then, therefore, then he is in control, so he's taking care, but the point is it's not that he necessarily wants to put us through difficulty, it's that by how we deal without going through difficulty, we may not progress. So in that way, yes, it's Krishna's pastime, but it's not necessarily that it's going the way he would like it is with, let's say, Nanda Baba and Mother Jashoda. Because everything's his pastime. The whole material creation is his pastime. But the pastime there is he deals in that neutral state with everybody, so as they approach him and how they deal with him in that approach, he reciprocates that. Because he technically doesn't need to, right? He's not dependent upon that. He doesn't require that for his satisfaction, right? He's doing that because of out of his free will, that because of the natural position and relationship of the living entity for the living entity's benefit, right? But it's not that he has to do it in that way. So giving that independence to the individual soul and allowing them to then approach him as they are interested, then that then gives its particular taste. That's his desire, that it is like that. So then, from that aspect, but we have to, when we say it's Krishna's pastimes, so, but are we talking about his, spiritual past, dealing with the spiritual energy or dealing with the material energy? Because they're both pastimes. But one's direct, one's indirect.
Yeah.
So, it'll make us feel better that we're, as part of Krishna's arrangement and this and that. So as long as it produces some inspiration or some attraction to Krishna or surrender to Krishna by that approach, then that's fine. But if we're thinking, though, everything's perfectly fine because I'm great, so it's just Krishna's pastime, it shouldn't be happening to me because I'm so fabulous in Latin, I'm so perfect, but all this is happening, it's just like, Krishna being bewildered on the battlefield. He's not actually, but it's being worked out that way, so it's Krishna's pastime. That kind of thing will have a bit more attitude that needs to be removed. So then, we see Krishna then distances himself. So that by that distancing, then you start to see things in a proper perspective. So you have to, it's a matter of, it's Krishna's arrangement, but that arrangement is according to what will work for purifying us and bringing us to that spiritual standard. Does that make sense? So Krishna is always on the transcendental platform, but since we're not, then how he deals with us sometimes may have, some interaction that's addressing that lack of Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, yes, it's according to what he thinks is the best, so therefore it's according to his desire. But he's responding to ours. Does that make sense? You're coming home after being out for the day, you're in a good mood. When you walk in the house, the mood's not good, so what do you do? Right? You adjust to the sober mood. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, you may have one mood, but whatever's the other mood, that you adjust to. Because that's where the interaction will happen. If you're in one mood and the other's in another mood, then where's the interaction? Does that make sense? So it's for interaction, you have to deal with the person as they are dealing. So we may say, why does it happen like this? It's because Krishna's dealing with us personally. Otherwise, he himself, then he's always transcendental, he's always happy, so, it's our problem. So it's because of the personal dealings. That's why then he reciprocates on our level according to our realization. So we think it's, why is it like this? Because he's interacting with us.
The questions, many devotees ask is that whether Krishna really personally takes care.
What do they mean by personal?
Like, if he's personally involved in our lives, if
But what do they mean by personal? It means like you're walking down the street.
He knows as the person what I'm doing right now.
But he's sitting in the heart, so why wouldn't he know?
That's Paramatma feature, that's not him personal.
But he is the person that's come as Paramatma because we only deal with him as Paramatma. For the great devotees, then Bhagavan's sitting in their heart. But he's there in the heart, but he's dealing because that's all we deal with him. Because generally when things aren't going well, that's when we might be thinking of him. When it's going well, we're not thinking of him. So then, why would Bhagavan sit there while you don't think of him? You know what I'm saying? Mother Jashoda, the elder gopis are sitting there, they're chatting and all kinds of nice chatting. Krishna walks in and they just kind of look over and then look back and keep chatting. No, it's all about Krishna. So it's all around Krishna. Because he being the source, anything connected to him then makes everybody happy. He's happy, everybody's happy. Right? You can't be happy separately. But as long as we try to do things separate than Krishna, then he'll only deal with us as Paramatma. But it's him. He as a person is there. But it's localized. Means he's just sitting there in our heart. But he's just dealing with us as we are dealing with him. It's not a matter of he is a person because we're considering him as a person. So unless we're thinking, what would Krishna as a person like in this situation? And I'm making my best endeavor to do that according to authority. Then we're talking about, you know, Bhagavan consideration. But if we're not doing that, he's just reciprocating how we're dealing. You know? So again, it comes back to us. Krishna is willing to interact however. But the point is we're only dealing on that. That's why it says you can surrender in a moment. It's based on our desire. So he's sitting in the heart. Who else is he? He's not a person. It's just that. See, it's just like, the person's at the office, right? So they're still a person. They still have their same personality. But they deal according to the office environment and who's there in the office. Does that make sense? So, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily doing what they specifically would like to be doing. Right? That depends upon the other people there and how they interact. Does that make sense? So, but if you have good friends there at the office, then you're dealing how you like to deal, and then when the boss comes or other people are there, then you revert back into office mode. So Paramatma is office mode. And so if we deal with him just as the boss or some guy at the office, then he just maintains that mood. And as we deal with him as a person according to his likes, you understand? So that's why, you know, this position that, oh, we're Westerners, we can't do all this stuff, this is not our culture, this is not natural, you know, all the whatever it is, the various euphemistic platitudes of total attachment that we may use, it's not considering Krishna as a person. How we will ever get to that platform of prema? Because prema means he's a person. It's about him. Paramatma means it's about myself. I'm from, you know, Svalbard, and so therefore, you know, I do things in this way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole point, is that who is it about? If it's about us, Paramatma. It's about him, then we're talking. Now we're talking, you know, beginning stage of Bhagavan. But as long as we always make it about ourselves and everything like that, to that degree he's not. But the point is it is Krishna. So therefore, even that contact with Paramatma is progressive. But we have to understand is that progressive is there, but then there's the obstacles to pure devotion. You know, so the gopis, they're at the position, they can associate with Krishna, but there's still obstacles because they're thinking about themselves. It's not 100%. So therefore, then Krishna leaves the rasa dance. Because they're thinking about, wow, I'm so good, I'm so special, I'm so, you know, so if it's all about you, then yeah, hey. So it's a real thing, all this. Not that it's not something we just play around with and do as we want, because we know how to deal with this so well. No, unless we're dealing according to what the acharyas recommend, and that, how is things going to be progressive? Because it's not as, Krishna consciousness is not just a social scene. We may make it into a social scene like that. Right? We have to remember it's called social media, not Krishna conscious media. Right? You know, we can Krishnize it, yes. But if we don't, then it's just social. So this whole thing of the social and who does what and you know, management and justice and who's in control of the money and who's got the authority and, you know, all these kind of things, these various aspects. At what point are we going to take Krishna consciousness seriously and pure devotion seriously? All these things can be arranged. Akura is a kshatriya. Krishna and Balaram are relating to him in that kshatriya mood. They're going to go to Dwarka. They're going to manage. They're going to do all these different things. So that's not the problem. The problem is not that, oh, there's management, so then that's not Krishna conscious. No. Yudhishthira Maharaja is the most Krishna conscious manager. Right? So that's not the point. It's about, what is it about? It's about, I have a particular conditioning, I engage that, but the point is, since the conditioning came from Krishna, then Krishna defines how it's engaged in his service. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that he defines, not we define. But this whole idea is, no, I'm going to define, that's just our own attachment. No, Krishna defines what he likes. That's Bhagavan. When he's God and he just has to deal whatever it is we are, yes, God does that. But then, and which aspect of God will deal with that? Then Mahavishnu, he creates the whole thing. So then, but he expands into the universe, and then our individually as Kiradakshai Vishnu. So if it's about us and our conditioning, the only way that he can interact is as Paramatma, because it's about us. It's about our conditioning, rather than it's about myself as the soul. I'm the servant of Krishna, and therefore I need to be engaged in Krishna's service, body, mind, and words. So, having, you know, made the mistake of turning my, you know, attention from Krishna, coming to the material world, going through all the various species of life, now coming to this species, this human life, somehow or another, fortunately, by the Lord's mercy and the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, we've come in contact with Krishna consciousness. We've had the good fortune to be able to take it seriously, so here we are. So we don't have the spiritual body, it's still covered by the conditioning, and so we will engage the conditioning in Krishna's service, but it's according to Krishna. That's the meaning of sarvadharmam parityaja. It means I don't give up using religion, I give up that the main point is religion. That's the meaning of giving up. Right? Like when we say giving up eating material foodstuffs, does that mean we stop eating food? No, we only take prasad, but that's how we interpret it. We interpret, oh, sarvadharma, give up all varieties of religion so we don't have to follow any religion. We just do whatever we want, but doing whatever we want is also a religion. Mm. Right? It's the religion of the pranamoyic vikarmi. That is his religion. You know, on the social thing. And if you're not so social, then it's the animal one, just on your self-centered. So it is a religion. So that has to be given up. As long as we say that, you know, I'm not Indian, I'm from here, I'm from there, then you're following that religion. So when is that going to be given up for Krishna's pleasure? So therefore, yes, in the beginning we consider, okay, I'm this, I have these attachments, I connect them, I dovetail them by connecting them to Krishna. But with time, then it's got to be, okay, I have these abilities and efforts that I can make. So what? How would be the best way that Krishna would be pleased like this? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So it's just like, I know how to drive, so I'm remembering Krishna when I'm driving, but then with time, then I should drive how Krishna would like me to drive. You know, like there's the stories of, you know, and Prabhupada's there, and they're driving, and they're going too fast. You know, Prabhupada will make comments about it. Why taking these risks? You know, thinking, oh, but we can save time. You know, but, you know, he's just pointing out, no, but there's risks. Krishna's time, so, you know. Or I think it was once, someone was telling me, I don't know if it was the driver himself or someone was saying that they were Hridayananda Maharaj was in the car, they were driving, and the driver was driving with one hand. You know, this kind of thing, one hand, this, that, and, you know, hold the wheel wherever you like and all that. And then Hridayananda Maharaj at one point when he saw that this is not getting any better, you know, then he says, you know, actually, I prefer two-handed service. You know? You know, so in other words, put both hands on the steering wheel, you know, hold it properly. So that's personal. But if it's like, no, this is the way I drive, I'm sorry, then it's not about Krishna. It's about ourselves, though we are engaged in Krishna's service, but it's still not about Krishna. So we're still just following Dharma, and that Dharma is not necessarily recommended, because the Vedic version, that's what's recommended of Dharmas. And if we don't like those, and we use ones outside, why would we use it, since Dharma is the you know, enacting the laws of God. So that means that we're following our own dharmas, you know, the non-Vedic dharmas, for our own purpose. But we're fortunate enough to see the importance of connecting it to Krishna. But we can't say that it's about Krishna. It's about ourselves, but we've connected it to Krishna. So it's good. But we can't claim that it's as good as following what's recommended by Krishna. You know, you just can't do that. It means it doesn't have any logical sequence to say that it's as good. You know, that's like saying 10th class is as good as first class. See, because they both have the term first, I mean class in it. So therefore they're equal. So why make such a difference between first and 10th? In fact, first only has a 1, but 10th has a 0 also. So that means it's actually worth more. You know, so that kind of logic, that's not spawned by proper use of the intelligence. Does that make sense? So, therefore, we have to see is that Krishna is dealing with us how we deal with him. So if they're worried about him being his Paramatma, not his Bhagavan, then deal with him as Bhagavan. Make it about Krishna. But why are we worried that it's not Bhagavan? That it's not Bhagavan? Is it for Krishna's pleasure, or is it because we want it to be Bhagavan because, you know, that's better? You know what I'm saying? So even as Paramatma, he may arrange things personally, but I mean he's always making the decisions personally. But the point is that, generally speaking, for the devotees, then Krishna's facility that he wants to give devotees is coming through the external energy, because she's servant of Krishna. So she's the one delivering all the facility, making all the arrangements. That's the standard way of dealing. But like, let's say with Prahlad Maharaj, then Krishna makes the arrangements directly. But otherwise, just the normal thing, how things work, that's just that Maya is taking care. Because we have to remember, Maya is not in Maya. Right? That's the point. Maha Maya is not in Maya. You know? Because the Maya is not the problem. Right? It's the Maha part. Because Yoga Maya is also Maya. You know? Jashoda Mayi, she's also Maya. So Krishna's energy, that's not the problem. But when Mahamaya means that we don't see things actually how they are. Does that get anywhere? So in other words, devotees shouldn't be in anxiety that Krishna is, you know, as how do you say, Braja Krishna is not dealing with them because they're not dealing with him in that way. So he's there reciprocating however you deal. And so that's the personal dealing. He's there according to your nature. So it is personal. Right? Paramatma is not impersonal. It's just a feature that he manifests, you know, in the material world because people don't deal with him as Bhagavan. You know, so what do you do? Is that right?
Because it seems like we're quite comfortable with Brahman and Paramatma features. But then because it's preached about Bhagavan, we consider that. But actually our own dealings, personal, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of time. That's why the process is there. One keeps at the process, the practice is there. And the association, that's the importance of reading the scriptures. You know, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, what's recommended for us, Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, because there is, you're associating with Krishna, you're hearing the philosophy about Krishna, but you're also seeing the moods of the devotees and how they interact with Krishna. That then is inspiring on what's the appropriate thing. So, but we see it's the mood in what is there, it's not the activity. The activity is expressing the mood. It's the secondary. The primary is the proper attitude. So therefore, when we see these verses, they say unlimited dimensions of rasa, then we know that the aspect there is that affection that's going on. That's what's being going on. And the variety of affections, ways affections being expressed. Right. Does that make sense?
Because we've noticed that as soon as shifts to personal dealings with somebody, then relationship is challenged, actually. It's very...
Yeah, because the intensity increases and we're not used to that because then it's not necessarily about us. So that's why therefore, as a general thing, one follows the proper etiquette and puts that in. That must be done. And then, for putting in that extra effort, you do that with those who you find are close. That's the point of swajati. Those you can relate to, there'll be the least difficulty in applying that. Then you deal in that way. You know what I'm saying? So, let's say those who are acquaintances or something to do with service, okay, every once a year, every 6 months, maybe every 3 months, you can handle kind of putting in that time, you know, going to their place for dinner, or they come to yours, or you do something together like that, because, you know, it's there, they're part of the service, and it's nice. But then you'll have those who are more close that you can deal with, you know, on a weekly basis or daily basis. So the point is, it's not, volume's not important. It's the quality. You know, because we have to look at quality, because being 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, we can't actually go on volume. You know, we have to go on quality. Krishna can go on volume. So he can deal with each individual jiva individually. And there's unlimited of them, and he has no problem doing that. Because that's his nature. He's unlimited. So, yeah. So another, devotees should be inspired, and they shouldn't be worried about that. But the point is it's Bhagavan who is coming as Paramatma. It's not that Paramatma is somebody different. You know, it's not like it's, you know, hey, second cousin or something, you know, like that. You know, this is Bhagavan. Paramatma is him.
Because when we try to describe, you know, Karanda Kashaya Vishnu, you know, Mula Sankarsana, and it's all coming from Balaram and expands like that, and people say, yeah, it's a different person, so we don't have to make any effort on that.
Yeah, no, but it's the same person. It's just that different flavors, because all these things are being done by his will. And so all these different realms, all these different, you know, the whole material pastimes, all these things, so that's all being arranged. So then it only takes a certain amount of potency, an amount of flavor, an amount of his involvement to establish those things. So, yeah. So it's just, he's just reciprocating with this, the environment. The Vaikuntha Vasis want to see him as God, so therefore he creates the 24 varieties of Vaikuntha planets in which then they can appreciate. So in other words, they all appreciate he's God, but there's 24 varieties of flavor within that. You know? So the 24 Vishnus, there'll be a slightly different flavor for each one. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, in regards to Prabhu's question, like in Brahma Samhita, it mentions Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vyojanaya Santa Sadaiva Ritayoshi Vilokayanti. So like, if that Prema we have, then obviously that Paramatma will transform into Krishna. It says Yam Shama Sundaram Chintayana Surupa.
Yes. Means if as we, yes, the as we see him, that premanja, it's not that he transforms into Krishna. He is Krishna. He just will deal in that way. It's like we see the example of Gopakumar, right? He's there. Vishnu's there because Gopakumar is playing on his flute. Then Vishnu gets out his flute and there's cows and it's a whole scene. The whole Vrindavan's going on. But in Vaikuntha, nobody wants to see that. You know, means that's their main thing. They don't mind remembering and glorifying him for these things. So therefore, he doesn't manifest that. He's God, not the son of Maharaj Nanda. But for Gopakumar, he's the son of Maharaj Nanda. So therefore, no one else is looking, then he can manifest that. You know, or like Krishna, when the gopis are one time they're looking for him, so then they come along and he's taken the form of Paramatma. And they ask him, have you seen Krishna? You know, so then, you know, he, I'm not sure what he does, but yeah, that. You know, but whatever, he, like that. And so then they move on because they're not interested in that feed. They're looking for Krishna like that. And so, but when Radharani comes, he can't maintain his feature as Vishnu. So that's the whole point, is that because of the devotee's affection in Vaikuntha, he can maintain that mood. But when he comes across a Braj devotee, he can't maintain that mood. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, that's why in Vaikuntha, he can always maintain that mood, because they always deal with him in that way. They don't deal with him in another way. Is that So it's not that he transforms. He's the same person. It's just what he manifests. You know, it's just like, let us say, the father's there. He's some very, very big person or something like that. You know, very influential. He's surrounded by all these big guys who all think they're big guys and are all talking very, very seriously. But, you know, one of his family members is sitting over on the side waiting for something like that. And at some moment where there's an opportunity where no one may see, he may look over at them and wink and that, and then go back to his being very serious. So they're seeing Paramatma because they only deal with that. But the family members seeing Bhagavan because of their dealings. So there's not a transformation. You know, it's not like a... You know, say, you know, he's a car and he turns into some guy. You know, we're not talking that kind of stuff. Yeah, we're not talking, shape-changing reptilians from, they're from Pleiades, you know, like that. But they always say people from Pleiades are favorable, so that means, I guess, reptilian shape-changers are favorable. So, it depends whom they are, okay. Okay. Yes, so we're all good. Okay. Akura relayed the message he had been sent to deliver. He also described Kamsa's real intentions and how Narada had informed Kamsa that Krishna had been born as the son of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, the vanquisher of heroic opponents, laughed when they heard Akura's words, right? So they're going to come in and the elephant's going to step on him. If that doesn't work, then Mustika and Chonura are going to kill him. Like that. So they're just laughing at this arrangement, because this is not actually a very good arrangement. The lords then informed their father, Maharaj Nanda, the king of Kamsa, Maharaj Nanda of King Kamsa's orders. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, Asked by the Lord, Akura related in summary the many events in two verses. In the description, he shows the present condition and does not hide the truth. He spoke this to the Lord, who displays his unlimited qualities to the dedicated devotees. Harivamsa gives more details. Akura said, "We will go happily to Mathura tomorrow. All the people of Braja will go along with their families, taking the yearly tax as ordered by Kamsa. The festival of the great bow of Kamsa will be held. You will see the prosperity and meet your relatives. You will meet Vasudeva, your father, always grieving and miserable, exhausted because his sons were killed. He is always in pain, thinking of Kamsa's evil deeds. He has aged, is dried up, with limp body, and is almost dead. He is fearful of Kamsa and burns day and night, internally and externally, out of longing and separation from you and Balaram." So we see the Dwarka Vasis then have the separation, then they have with Krishna, and the Brajbasis are with Krishna, and then they have separation. So each one tastes at the different time, whenever, wherever Krishna is. Okay, he burns out of longing and separation from you and Balaram. O Govinda, you will see Devaki, her breast, unsucked by sons. She is depressed, like a devata without effulgence, dried up because of lamentation for her sons. She depends on seeing you. She is afflicted with lamentation and separation from you, like a cow without her calf. Her eyes are continually filled with tears. Her clothing is soiled. She resembles the moon devoured by Rahu. She longs to see you and desires your coming at all times. Depressed because of lamentation for you, she has become austere. She has lost all power because of being separated from you when you were a baby. O Lord, she does not know the effulgence of your moon-like face. O Krishna, having given birth to you, if she suffers, what is the purpose of having a son? It is better she had no children. There is only suffering for women without sons. You are her son, equal to Indra, with qualities similar to him. You should give fearlessness to others. She should not lament. Your elderly parents have become subservient to others. For you, they endure chastisement from evil-minded Kamsa. Since Devaki, tolerant like the earth, respects you, you must deliver her, for she is inundated in the ocean of suffering. O Krishna, you must be reunited with elderly Vasudeva, affectionate for you and attain Dharma, just as you subdued the wicked snake in the lake of Jamuna, just as you held up the huge mountain as if holding up the earth. So you killed strong, proud Arista and evil, murderous Keshi. O Krishna, you should deliver your parents with care and attain Dharma. Think of this. Those who saw your father scolded by Kamsa in the assembly became filled with grief and shed tears. Your mother, Devaki, dependent on Kamsa, bears unlimited suffering, which tears apart her womb. Right, so then he's bringing out this aspect of Maryada. You know, this aspect of following the rules and following Dharma and all that, which is what you'll see is a basis within the Dwarka Lila, right? This Mathura Lila. But we see is that it has all the rasas within it, you know, and in a very expanded form. Well, then in Ayodhya, where the main thing of Maryada, then he follows there everything, but its conjugal is reduced. The other ones are still there. Right, but then Dwarka, you see, is it has all the others, and then he doesn't take as prominent a role. So it's a major feature, but it's not the only feature, right? Because the aspect of sweetness is there, so it has that mix. So, he said this to invoke the Lord's compassion. The two boys were vanquishers of the heroism of enemies. They laughed with disregard for Kamsa, since killing him was easy. Because Akura spoke with affection, fear, and humility, they would go with gifts to Mathura for the festival ordered by Kamsa. But they did not speak about the suffering of Vasudeva and Devaki described by Akura, or the words of Narada. They spoke to Nanda because he was their father, and because the king had given this order. They must thus inform Nanda. On hearing the cruel words, Krura Vachaha, to comfort Nanda, Krishna smiled, since his father was controlled by his affection. They relate everything because they were killers of enemies of heroism. They wanted to kill Kamsa. So we see is that whatever's the mood that's going on, the devotees that's there, then that's how he brings out, that's how he reciprocates. Right? So how he's dealing with Kakura is one way, how he'll deal with Nanda Baba has a different flavor to it. Right? So what he'll say and everything, but because the order is there and then they must follow the order, so then they're doing that because they do pay their tax every year. So then it's just a matter of now's time to pay the yearly tax. Right?
Yeah. Can we say that the devotee sets the mood in this, in relationship with Krishna, in the sense that how the devotee loves Krishna?
Yes, Krishna. Yes.
So that's feminine position?
Yeah, the devotee is always in the feminine as the ashray, and he is the vishay, so he's always in the masculine. So he then reciprocates with the mood that is there. But at the same time, is there's always the understanding of what is pleasing to Krishna, right? And then how one is dealing with that, then that's how Krishna reciprocates. So as long as it's about Krishna's pleasure, then the dealings can have so much variety. If it's not about Krishna's pleasure, it's about ourselves, then it takes on more of a formal kind of approach. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Nanda Maharaj then issued orders to the cowherd men by having the village constable make the following announcement throughout Nanda's domain of Braja. Go collect all the available milk products. Bring valuable gifts and yoke your wagons. Tomorrow we shall go to Mathura, present our milk products to the king, and see a very great festival. The residents of all the outlying districts are also going. Footnote 18. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 10 to 12 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. Right, so all this is being done to please Krishna. So thou, now he will he'll switch from the being manifest, you could say, or the prakat aspect in Braja to aprakat, and then he'll go to Dwarka where he's aprakat, then where he'll become prakat, be able to be seen. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, famous Nanda, though he was anxious about the safety of his sons, Sa'api, gave the orders. He was bewildered by Krishna's information, just as he was when Krishna ordered stopping the sacrifice to Indra. Should be understood that no one else objected. Yeah. So just, he's, you know, bewildered, because then you're going to Mathura, they're all going and all that, because generally they just go, you don't hear Krishna going. Like, they just go to pay their tax and this and that. But this time Krishna's going, so he's a little worried about all that. But everybody else is okay. Verses 13 to 37, the distress of the gopis. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the young gopis heard that Akura had come to Braja to take Krishna and Balaram to the city, they became extremely distressed. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, the gopis heard from someone talking, Upashrutya, since they could not have heard directly. They were extremely pained. In their extreme distress, they felt that death was preferable. Or the Nityasiddha gopis, just on hearing Nanda's announcement, had become overwhelmed with grief, whereas the Sadhanasiddha gopis, on hearing that Akura had come to take Krishna, became aggrieved.
What's the difference?
Just that there would be any, that Krishna's would be going anywhere. Right. So in other words, there's a slightly bit more aspect of just hearing that. You know, it's just like, I think it was given before, what's the aspect? What is that aspect? Yeah, I don't remember, but basically it was showing the three different levels of gopis. that one that basically you have ones that are at all times they're totally absorbed in Krishna, and another the others when that like when they're with Krishna they're totally absorbed, and other ones only when they're reminded. Like this, there's levels. So there's some distinction here. Whether it's coming out very nicely in the translation, but they're just hearing the announcement. They're already in anxiety, right? They're just going to Mathura, right? So just that all the cowherd men and everybody's going to Mathura, and Krishna and Balaram are going. They're already in anxiety. But it's only then hearing that that's the nitya siddhas. The sadhana siddhas aren't in anxiety with that. But when they hear Akuras come specifically to take Krishna, then only they become. Does this make sense? Yeah? We catch the difference? Not so much. See, it's that something's going to happen. Then it's just a kind of a general thing. So you don't necessarily think as much about it, but if it's something very specific, right, if just they're going to pay the tax, okay, and because Krishna and Balaram are older, they're also going to go along. Okay, that's going to give anxiety to the Nityasiddha gopis, because if Krishna goes, that means he's not there in Vrindavan. But for others, they may consider that, you know, every year they go in and they come back. You know, so it's not nice, but it's not the end of the world. Does that make sense? But when you have that Akura specifically come to take Krishna to that program, so that means there's more afoot than just they're going in to pay a tax. So at that point, with more things, then they're getting an anxiety. Are we okay? Now we're good.
Well, yesterday we heard that in material world there is duality, but yes. In spiritual world there is no duality.
Yes.
But we also see that there is this pain, distress, and happiness.
Yeah, but that's variety.
Okay. How to differentiate this duality?
One's spiritual, one's material. Like, okay, let us say we have metal,
yeah.
Right? So, now you have gold and you have iron. They're both metal, so how do you distinguish?
It's rare and shiny and better qualities.
But it's metal. You understand? So if we put the emphasis on the metal, we won't understand the gold and iron. So if we put off that, oh, but it's opposite, therefore it has to be duality. No, duality is because we're forced to go through these things. And these two things is they, you know, one seems like happiness, one seems like distress. You know, so like that, we have a problem. But in the spiritual world, they both give bliss. So where's the duality? You know what I'm saying? Will you consider it a problem if you have rice and sabji? Is it a problem? But one's a grain and one's vegetables. You know, they're completely different. You know what I'm saying? What if today we cook one vegetable, tomorrow we cook a different vegetable? Are you going to be okay? But it's different.
See, variety.
It's variety. So in other words, when it's within it's variety within the same aspect of bliss. It's just a different flavor of bliss. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just we're not used to it because we think that anything that I don't like can't be good. So. In other words, by going through the you know, we see here in the 10th canto, then by the descriptions in that, it brings it close enough to home that we actually start to see what anarthas are there. Mm. Otherwise, you know, we may feel we're doing okay, and that we're able to appreciate that, see that means we're doing well. But we can see that there's farther to go, because even the gopis are perfect. Krishna takes it to a further platform of perfection. Because since things are unlimited and always expanding, therefore whatever is good now, then more than that will be better. Right? So in other words, in the spiritual world, a little is good, more is better, is actually a principle, and it works there. But when it comes down to here, and you know, it's how the Americans apply anything, then it creates problem. Right? You know, in other words, if vitamins are good, then more is better, right? You ever seen those pills where one pill, it lists this whole list of you know, A, B, C, you know, all these different things, but it's 5,555 times the minimum daily requirement. You know what I'm saying? And so the only seems to be the only major effect that it has is technicolor urine. But other than that, whether it actually does anything for you, you know, but I'm saying, you know, everyone else is, you're supposed to take this much per day, you take that much. But no, America's got to be 5,555? I don't know. You know?
Yeah, because you cannot really absorb it unless it's in the right molecular size.
So oh, okay.
You have to have specific kinds of vitamins to actually absorb it. These kinds, most it's just, you know, flushed out.
Yes, yes. Okay, but that's one that possibly something could absorb. Yeah. You know, like the ones that you just get from, you know, your normal eating, right? Those ones. All those special ones. Yeah. Like someone told me the other day that even though spirulina is super high in vitamin B12, it's not a kind of B12 that you can actually absorb, so what it does is whatever's in your body, it takes it along with it as it gets flushed out. Yeah. So much for that superfood, right? Okay. Yeah. So, you understand? So, here in the material world, because it increases the mundanity, it's a bad thing. So if a little mundanity is good, more is better, then it's bad. But a little spirituality is good, more is better, then it has a positive effect. So it's the highest there is the lowest here. Does that make sense? So if you could switch that, then it would be good. That's why you see when they were on the razor's edge, then they were really, really good. You went by in the evening class the other way.
Because here, if someone has so much attachment to a person, when he leaves, he's really...
Yeah, but you're not thinking of Krishna, so therefore, it's a problem. Right? But Krishna, being the original person, we're part and parcel. By thinking of him, then we're pleased. But if you're thinking of the part and parcel without Krishna, then... Yes. Is that yeah, so that's... Their grief arose from fear of separation from Krishna, not from fearing that he would be harmed in Mathura. For verse 23 expresses their fear that he will be attracted to the women of Mathura. Krishna went with the approval of the senior cowherd men like Upananda and Nanda, and therefore he would be safe. If it had not been so, the gopis would have immediately died. Right? So that separation is there, then they're going to feel bad. But because Nanda and Upananda had agreed to it, then... You know, their affection, they're always caring about Krishna, so therefore Krishna will be safe. But if that wasn't there, then they would be really worried. Right? So it says here, then they would have died immediately. The Leela Shakti made this arrangement. Their fear of separation was not fear of separation forever, since they believed he would stay in Mathura only for a short time. They addressed him in verse 22 as the son of Nanda, to affirm his connection with Braja. Their only fear was that he might be attracted to the women of Mathura, verse 23. If they had thought otherwise, they would have stated it. Right? Because at this point, they're, you know, in that feelings of separation, they state whatever is on their minds. And so then who is it? Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is then saying that if it had been some other point than this, then they would think he's going and coming back, and so they're fearful of that anyway. But then they're worried he might get attracted by the girls in Mathura. Right? And that's the only anxiety they have about him going to Mathura. If they had known about the whole Dhanur Yajna and the elephants and the wrestlers, then they wouldn't have survived that. The hope that he would return was the reason they maintained their lives. This condition of the women in separation, prosita, is caused by their extreme anuraga. Mm-hmm. Right, so they have so much attachment, therefore it's caused. Like that. So then they maintain their lives because Krishna may come. Because if Krishna comes, and then because their only purpose is to please Krishna. So if he comes, then they can render service. Right? If they're not there, then how do they render service? Krishna won't be pleased. Therefore, they're maintaining their life because then they can serve Krishna. But otherwise, as far as they're concerned, then what's the point? Sukadev Goswami continued, some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. Others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets, and braids became loose. So one of the things in anxiety and that, then the body goes thin. Like that. So because of that, then like bangles fall off, clothes gets loose, all these different things happen. So this modern thing where everybody's looking thin and they're able to maintain it is, you know, because of anxiety, and anxiety always creates disease. So yes.
But something, when you're depressed, you eat.
That's after you've gotten thin. See, because how do you eat if you're not thin? Right? In other words, if you're thin, you're confident you can eat and it won't be a problem.
Then it becomes.
My point is because of the thinness, therefore the eating. Right? If you're feeling fat, you probably wouldn't eat. Then you wouldn't eat. Right? Yeah. So the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, 5 verses describe the mental anguish of the gopis. Among them, Bhadra and others are described. Bhadra's face was withered due to lack of breath from the increase in heat on hearing the news. Next, the withering the limbs of Shyamala and others is described. They became so thin that their ornaments began to fall off. Sukadev Goswami continued, other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, other senses, Chandravali, after thinking of the meaning of the announcement, developed fear of separation and then, in a state of absorption, felt love for him. The mention of meditation in this verse distinguishes these gopis from the previous ones. They were like persons who had attained their sarup, Atma Lokam. Jivan Muktas, the example shows that they forgot about their bodies, or they meditated on Krishna going. How will he go there? How will he stay there? How will we continue to live? By that, they stopped the functions of their minds. It's like 4 gears to then put on your brakes. Okay. They were not aware of their bodies or things related to the body at all. Sukadev Goswami continued, and still other women fainted simply by remembering the words of Lord Saurī, Krishna. These words, decorated with wonderful phrases and expressed with affectionate smiles, would deeply touch the young girls' hearts. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, this verse describes the most intense love within Radha's group. Krishna is called Saurehi because he was now identifying himself as a member of the Sura dynasty in desiring to go to Mathura, right? Because he's in touch with Mathura Vasi. And by the discussions that are there and that compassion that is being brought out by Akura's discussions, now he's identifying as somebody from Mathura. So that's why then he's obliged to go there and then take care of things. So then now they're calling him by that name. Right, because then it already has that element of separation. The others haven't thought like that yet. So we see is that, just like in the Rasa dance, it also started with all the others first, and then it comes to Radharani's group. So then you see how it develops. So in the other group, then you see how Bhadra, and like them, they're dealing, then Shyamala, then up to Chandravali. So then that brings how that group is moving. Up to the top of that, but then we see in Radharani's group then a slightly different flavor, right? And then that is completely more absorbed. It is Sukadev's comment in hatred and love, since he sided with the gopis. His anuraga could be understood from the tone of his voice and his gestures. The words of Krishna touched the heart because of their meaning. The words were excellent because of the choice of words, using double meaning and alliteration. This showed his special love for them. They became completely bewildered, as if being struck unconscious, with no chance of recovery. They were women, Striyaha, and thus they could not personally remedy the situation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the gopis were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Lord Mukunda. So now, as they remembered his graceful gait, his pastimes, his affectionate smiling glances, his heroic deeds and his joking words, which would relieve their distress, they were beside themselves with anxiety at the thought of the great separation about to come. They gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, in this way, they spent the night experiencing various sensory bhavas, such as fainting, murcha, the waves of praying. Right, so they, in the evening, when the announcement was made and everybody is starting to make arrangements, you know, hooking, getting things ready and all that, then that's when they heard. So this has already started in the evening before. Right. Gaining external consciousness through the strength of the Santri Bhava of anxiety over whether they would see him again, they gathered in the early morning in front of Nanda's door in great longing, and all being afflicted with the coming separation, began discussing in a group. Those gopis who feared even a moment's separation were now afflicted with an approaching lengthy separation. Right? Because they're already afflicted by any moment. Just Krishna goes back after being with them during the day or the night. Or they see him, you know, as he goes, coming into Vrindavan, and then after that he goes into his home, so then again separation. So all these moments, they're already feeling these. Now, these are just short separations. Now this is, it's turning into the understanding that this could be a long separation. Right, because you're going for a festival, they could be there for days, you know, and that's just that's on a, how you say, a good scenario. Right? They gathered in groups and spoke to one another. Their faces covered with tears and their minds fully absorbed in the chuta. Okay, we read that. When all the different groups joined together, they began conversing. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, remembering his attractive smile and his talks with them, the gopis became overwhelmed with grief. They all remembered the characteristics of the personality of Godhead, how he moved within the area of Vrindavan, and how, with joking words, he attracted all their hearts. Thinking of Krishna and their imminent separation from him, the gopis assembled together with heavily beating hearts. They were completely absorbed in thought of Krishna, and with tears falling from their eyes, they spoke as follows. The gopis said, O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then senselessly separate them before they fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is like a child's game. 19. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 19 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Okay, like a child's game, because then children, they just do things as they like. There's no actually rhyme or reason to it. It's just whatever they feel like. So that's why they're saying it's just a child's game. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, thinking the Creator is the cause of their imminent separation from Krishna, they criticize him in three verses. Aho expresses lamentation. O Creator, you make everything happen. You should be merciful to all living beings, but do not have any mercy at all. They indicate his lack of mercy by showing what he does. The jivas living here and there, identifying with their bodies, are brought together as friends only, and then develop affection. This is your arrangement. They indicate that in their meeting with Krishna, they have no qualities to deserve it. It is arranged by the Creator. Then you separate them, though they are not fully satisfied, and they have become useless in their various actions. Why do you bring them together? Right. So the point of why do you bring them together just to take them apart? Right. So in the material world, that's how it works, because of that way, then people start to doubt the efficacy of the material world. Right. But here, then it's just a matter of the relationship and rasa, because their relationship's eternal. In the material world, everything's temporary, and because we think it's eternal, then the temporary aspect is already brought out. But in the spiritual world, the seeming change of things is just for variety. That's all. It's just for variety. But the same transcendental relationship is maintained, the same transcendental intensity of prema is there, it just has this variety of tastes.
Maharaj, like Dajjal is saying about how the gopis, you know, they are displaying extreme anurag, you know, and this is just one step down of mahabhav. So can you say that, you know, anurag, mahabhav are closely related with the
Parakya. Are Anubhav and Parak and Mahabhav closely related with Parakya? Anubhav is
Anurag.
Page 61. Okay, Anurag. Because sometimes it's also called Anubhav. Anurag. So then that also makes it easier to tell the difference. But Anurag, then, but the queens of Dwarka also are absorbed in Anurag. That's as high as they can go. They don't get to Mahabhav. Mm-hmm. So Mahabhav would be more of the symptom of Parakya Rasa. Mm-hmm. Right? Because all of the symptoms are all there. Means that they're serving Krishna, right? It through the conjugal rasa, that means that their rati, or attraction to Krishna, is through that medium. Then they have that prema, they have that attachment, so that all the elements are there. It's not that if one's manifested, the others aren't there. It's just a matter of what flavor is being tasted at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, Mahabhava is the more, you would say, the symptom of Parakya. Without being satisfied, why do you separate them? We do not understand. If there is a reason and a goal, it is improper to suddenly separate those who have come together. An example of uselessness is given. Your playing is like actions of a child which have no reason or goal. The actions are performed out of foolishness. Right? So their point is that this is not the actual way to do things. The gopis continued. Having shown us Mukunda's face, framed by dark locks and beautified by his fine cheeks, raised nose and gentle smiles, which eradicate all misery. You are now making that face invisible. This behavior of yours is not at all good. O Providence, do you come here with the name Akrura? You are indeed cruel, for like a fool you are taking away what you once gave us. Those eyes with which we have seen, even in one feature of Lord Madhudvisa's form, the perfection of your entire creation. Because Akrura means not cruel. So they're saying that you're very cruel, and then even more cruel is you send someone with a name like not cruel when he's actually the most cruel. You know, they're taking it as like a euphemism, trying to make something that's not good sound good. Yeah. But you see, in this, they're always just thinking of Krishna, his beauty, his wonderful qualities, his wonderful actions, and everything like that. So it just absorbs them in that aspect. They're not getting angry because now, you know, what are they going to get from it? It just reminds them more and more of Krishna, right? Yes.
And it's interesting that they blame it on this sort of part, as if Krishna is not involved.
Yeah, because why would Krishna go?
Yeah, but it's up to him. He doesn't have to go, he might stay.
Yeah, but he would rather not go. That is also brought up. It's not his preference, but, you know, because that's, you know, one of the reasons why he's come, was to take care of these things, then the time for taking care of those things has come. So then he'll go. I think that'll come up more when the gopis, you know, approach the chariot. But at the same time, as he doesn't leave, because that mood of Krishna and Braja. Different track. Maybe they switch or something. Because here they're remembering Krishna and all that, and that remembrance of him as Braja Krishna, then he's always there and they're always associating with him. So that mood of Braja Krishna doesn't go out of Vrindavan. Because when he goes to Mathura, he goes in that mood of Mathura. Like that. He's the same person. He goes out of Vrindavan. But that mood of Braja, he doesn't take with him. That stays in Braja. Right? You know, it's like the famous adage, what happens in Braja stays in Braja. Yeah. Well, you don't know that one? Good. You know that one. Suddenly notice what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like that. Okay. So the pastimes in Braja, they don't leave Braja. And so the moods that are there, the interactions that are there, they may be talked about in other places because they're so attractive. That's how you get Dwarka Krishna taking the form of Jagannath, because it's Dwarka Krishna thinking about the pastimes of Vrindavan, and that mood of separation and all that then creates the ecstatic symptoms that he takes on that form. Right? So that's then the only place where you see the flavors outside of Vrindavan, but because they've gone with the devotees, but being with Dwarka Krishna, or, you know, in that mood, then because they're seeing Krishna, but he can't reciprocate with them as Braja Krishna because he's of the Dwarka scene. He can't act in that way. So being with Krishna and not being able to interact as you would like to, that's even more greater separation than not being with them, but you can absorb in the mood of your remembrance. Does that make sense? So the separation in Braja is great, but the separation in Kurukshetra is even more. So that's why to taste that flavor of separation, That's why then Lord Chaitanya went to Puri. Because that's Kurukshetra. Purushottam Kshetra is Kurukshetra. So that pastime there. So, because then you have, and then the deity for that is Dwarka Krishna hearing about the Braja pastimes and feeling separation from those pastimes and the ecstasy that comes from that. Does that start to mean something? Because Mayapur is the same as Vrindavan. So the volume of separation won't be as great as in Puri. So that's why at one point then he shifts to Puri. Does that make sense? Yeah, because here is Vrindavan. So it's non-difference, then you get the same flavor. Yes? So it's always important to understand it's the same person, it's just a different flavor. It's not a different person, like you were saying before. Is it because as we see these expansions, then we'll say, oh, it's a different person. No, it's all the same person. Right on down to Kira Rakshai Vishnu, it's all the same person.
So the features, you know, that we described as Soham, Shoti, Tadiyat Makra, and then, you know, again the categories of Prakash, Vilas, and so on and so forth. Just because of the mood, you know, that he takes, that we...
Yes, the mood, but it's the same person. It's the same person. Like that. That's how Krishna is aware of everything. Because it's him who's sitting in the heart. Hmm? Otherwise, then he has to ask Balaram, who has to ask Mahanarayan, who has to ask, you know, Sankarshan, who has to ask Karanadakshaya Vishnu, who has to ask Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, has to ask Kiradakshaya Vishnu, and then it all goes back, and then, okay, that's what's happening. No, but it's the same person, so he knows everything. Yes?
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.